We are up to Perek Mem Zayin of
no, it's not unplugged. It was never plugged in, but she says might as well take advantage.
Today is Mem Zayin, Perek Mem Zayin of Vayigash, of Bereishis, which is the end of Parshas Vayigash. Truth is, may have been better off if we would have actually gone into Parshas Vayechi and finished off Perek Mem Zayin, because there's a couple of things there that we can mention. Took a look in the Torah Tamima in terms of Gemaras that are quoted from this parak. Nothing really of halachic significance that I could find. Then I just thought about the Parsha and thought, wait a second, what exactly is going on over the course of this Parsha? Yosef is charging a lot of money for food. Right? Is that allowed? Is that an issue? There is a prohibition in the Torah called Onah. And in fact, we get an added bonus because it ties in nicely to this week's Parsha. In the beginning of Parshas Balak, so Balak goes and wants Bilam in order to come and curse the Jews for him. So Bilam is like hesitant to go, and at every step of the way, Rashi interprets Bilam's ulterior motives, how he's really trying to get more honor and more money, whatever. But Bilam does not want to go, and he makes a comment in the middle where he says, Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Yud Ches in Balak, he says, "Vayan Bilam Vayomer Lavde Balak Imitinli Balak Malove So Kesev Zahav." Even if Balak would give me houses full, or his entire house filled with silver and gold, meaning if he would give me all of his money, all of his treasury, Lo Ucha Lavod Es Pi Hashem Elokai, I can't violate the word of Hashem my God. Lasos Ketana Ogdala, to do something small or to do something large. That's what the pasuk says. So Rashi comments on that. Malobe so kesev zahav. Lamadnu shenasho rachva umachmad mamon acheru. We learn that he is especially a greedy person who covets another person's money. It says Amar roy lo litingli kol kesev zahav shelo. Now you would give me all the gold and all the silver. Sharei tzarch liskor chayalos rabos, because you anyways have to pay a lot of soldiers. Safik nutzeach, safik eino nutzeach. Maybe you'll win, maybe you'll lose. I mean, you can pay all the soldiers in the world, and you're still not gonna necessarily going to win. Vani vadei nutzeach, and I'm certainly going to win. So Balak is making the point to Bilam is making the point that I could charge you whatever I want because you're for sure going to pay me whatever I want. Nevertheless, the understanding is still that nefesh rechava b'chom in mamon acherim, that he is still considered a greedy person who covets money for making that request. He can get it, and I, Balak, will be willing to pay for it. So the answer to that is that that's still the prohibition of Onah. One is not permitted to violate what's called, you know, price gouging, to specifically charge somebody more than something is worth. And just to, you know, in the spirit of Melania Trump, I just like to quote my sources here, but I am not an expert in these halachos, but in the Rabbi Ari Marburger wrote a book that I bought several years ago, probably a decade ago already, titled Business Halacha. Rabbi Marburger is the head of a Beis Din of business law in Lakewood, New Jersey, but very, very familiar with business practices, etc. You can hear shiurim from him. He gives shiurim in, like, you know, in downtown Manhattan, things like that, to try to make sure everything. I've spoken with him personally a few times about the various issues. So he has an interesting sefer here. In the very first chapter of his book, Business Halacha, is on the topic of Onah, where he makes the point that in the capitalist economy, what establishes the price of a certain product or service? What establishes it? Supply, demand, whatever the market will bear. He says that's not the way it works in halacha. The way he's halacha, he says, how does he put it? The laws and the prices must reflect the true market value of an item. Taking advantage of an unsuspecting customer or an unaware seller is an illegitimate business practice and is comparable to stealing. That it has to be whatever the appropriate price is. So of course Sam might be raising his hand and saying, well, how do you know that? No, that wasn't your question. What was your question?
The question was, are we talking about price gouging, or are we talking about charging for the essentials, like food?
What's the difference?
Well, I can price gouge on a diamond ring.
You price gouge on a bottle of water also.
Yeah, there's a difference. I mean, people need water to live. They don't need diamond rings.
Oh, So it seems like the assumption is any product, whether essential or non-essential, to charge more than to knowingly, and even perhaps even not knowingly, charge more than the appropriate price, whatever that, however one establishes what the appropriate price is going to be considered a violation of Onah. Not just that, but works in both directions. The Mishnah in the Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, says that a person who owns a business is not allowed to overcharge a potential customer. And then the Gemara says, and the Mishnah then says, and the customer is not allowed to underbuy the seller. And why would I think otherwise? So the Gemara says, well, the seller should know his wares. The seller should know his business very well and should know exactly what the price is and should know exactly what he's able to pay. But yet we paskin like the Chacham. We paskin that a price in both directions is going to be considered an issue. Now, this leads to, some may recall a couple of years ago, I know some people who benefited from this, may recall the Elal price problem, that they were... there was a price publicized that was well below what it was, like $300-something to fly to Israel and back. This was then publicized on dansdeals.com, which got many people to then purchase those tickets. And that raised, A, an issue called Avonah, and that, B, raises an issue of, okay, does El Al have to honor the tickets then? As we'll see, Avonah should mean that you should be able to back out on the deal. And however, there's also was a government issue that the government kind of came in and said that no, you have to, once a deal is a deal and you don't have the right to back out, even though there might be, the deal might have been made due to computer error. Okay, so how does one establish, how does one know if one has violated Onah? What is the limitation? I mean, the entire Jewish world have to charge the same amount for a bag of Pashkus jelly beans, or can that fluctuate from place to place? So one thing that he does point out over the course of this chapter is that appropriate market value is going to be subject to time and place. Meaning, you could sometimes go some outdoor festivity, and the guy is there. You know, they're selling bottles of water. Right? It's clear that they bought the bottles of water at Costco, and you know exactly what the price is that they paid for it at Costco. It's $3.99 for a thing of 20, and they're charging $2 per bottle of water. Right? So is that allowed or is that not allowed? The truth is that probably is allowed, even though it sounds a little shady. That's allowed. First of all, they're doing a service in bringing it to you and keeping it cold, and that's the appropriate unfortunately for the consumer, but that could very well be considered the appropriate market value for buying a water in the middle of outside the zoo, the Philadelphia Zoo. So that could be the appropriate cost for what one would charge. So it's not just saying, well, a bottle of water is X amount, and that's the way it's going to be anywhere, anyhow. Right? The cost of a can of soda in a restaurant is different than the cost of a can of soda if you're purchasing it in a at Costco, or you're purchasing it in a supermarket. But once one somehow establishes that, and again, how one establishes that, I don't really have an easy answer to give. Once one establishes that, how much then is then going to bring about the Isser of Onah? So there are three levels of Onah. One of them is if the overcharge or undercharge, it works the same way, is the price differential is more or less than a sixth. If it is exactly a sixth, or if it is more than a sixth. Those are the three big differences, and we're going to do we'll go through it in the opposite order of the way that it appears in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, it... in Sif Dalid, right? Most of these halachos appear in Choshen Mishpat Simen Reish Chaf Zayin Sif Dalid. So it says over there, Haisa Ona Yisera Alashdus Kol Shehu Kegon Shemachar Shava Shishim, and it gives an example of what that could be. So Eino Yachol. A Batol Mekach. So the entire deal then becomes nullified. So if something really costs 100 and I charge somebody 150 for a voice recorder, so a voice recorder costs $50 and I charge somebody $80 for it, so that's more than a sixth. So then the person could come to me and say, "Here, I want the deal to be nullified." Now, do I have the right to turn around to him and say, well, no, you keep the recorder, here's just $30 to make up the difference? So al pi halacha, no, meaning it could be that the two can settle out of court. But if one would go to a Beis Din, they would demand that the entire deal be nullified. Yeah?
Say a sixth, you have to include not only the cost that one cost them, but the cost of the store, the rent he pays, the mortgage.
Right, so all of that that's six, right? So sometimes, people have a misperception that, oh, the Torah has defined that one is not allowed to have a profit of more than a sixth. That's not what this is talking about. A sixth is more than market value. So what establishes market value? So market value is established based on supply and demand. It's established based on area where you are, locale, rent, time of year, all of that is going to be moved into the issue of local value. It's not about the amount of profit. It could be that legitimate is, you know, the markup on certain private products could very well be 100, 200, 300%. That's the legitimate market value, right? So if it's more than a six, so batel mekach, the sale is then going to be nullified. What about if it's a sixth? Now, figuring out what is a sixth, even if you are able to figure out what fair market value, even figuring out a sixth is still going to be problematic, right? So if I were to ask you, something is that's fair market value is $60, what is overcharging it by a sixth? You would say?
$10.
$70, right? The problem is? Ah, very good. Very good. When everyone is trying to figure out the percentage in halacha or a fraction in halacha, it's unclear in this case. Is it a sixth of the original product or is it a sixth of the final product? Right. So this often comes up with selling what we call a chomesh. That if one benefits from kachim, this comes up more in the Gemara in the context of a chomesh. If one sells somebody violated hektish, and therefore you owe a fifth to the base of Migdash. How much is a fifth? So if you violate something worth $4, so you have to pay a fifth, so therefore you pay another dollar. Right? So wait a second, that's not a fifth, 20%. That's a fifth of the... Right, it's 20% of the fine. I remember going to a shir when I was in Israel for the year by Rav David Arlovsky, who's still on the scene, who's known as somewhat of a funny rabbi, you know, has known as the comedic rabbi and stuff. He's been at Eshet Torah Or Sameach. I remember this year was at Eshet Torah, it was at Or Sameach. It was on Hoshana Rabbah night, and he gave this example. He said, he mentioned this idea. So a fifth. So everybody knows that a fifth of four is a fifth of $100. What do you have to pay a fifth? So everybody knows 125. And he says, now I know from looking around the room who here went to college and who here didn't go to college, right? Those that didn't go to college are all saying, oh yeah, fifth of 100, everybody knows, 125, because they just think in the world of Gemara where that's the obvious equation. But those that did are scratching their head saying, huh, 100, 125, that's a four, right? Okay, so this is, there is a machlokus about fractions when it comes to the realm of paying a chomesh. There's also a shayla about fractions when it comes to figuring out what a sixth is with regards to ona. How do we pask between those two possibilities? So we pask in like both. Passing like both. I assume that this is because of the concept called hamotzi mechaver olav araya, that you have to prove that whenever it comes to, whenever, in areas of chush and mishpat, there is a concept called you have to always bear the burden of proof in order to figure out, whoever wants to take has to prove it, and you're not going to be able to prove one sheet against the other. And beyond that, in chush and mishpat, there is a separate halacha, which is how to apply this. This could be very abused as well. There's a concept called kimli. There's a concept called that I want a paskin like that shita. That if somebody is in a din Torah and they're being demanded for X amount of money, and they could dig up any shita that would accord with them, they have the right to say, "Oh, I paskin like that shita." That's a concept that appears specifically in the area of Choshen Mishpat, which in the area of monetary law, which is an issue. I mean, how to apply that and how not to apply that is complicated, and I will admit that I don't have an understanding of it at this point in time. Okay, so anyway, so that is, if it's a more than a six, if it is a six, what then is the halacha? That's in Mesh Chaf Zayin Sif Gimel. The halacha then is that you keep the product and you give back the, not the profit, but you big give back the surcharge, right? That's going to be the halacha under that circumstance, if it's specifically a six, right? The access. So it's a big difference, really, it's a big difference. So if it's more than a six, you give, the whole sale is nullified. If it is exactly a six, that's the halacha. If it's exactly a six, so the extra amount is then given back, but the product itself is kept. That has an interesting application. That has a very interesting application with regards to what if a person uses the product. I mean, what is the time limit?
Right.
We'll get to if it's less than a six in a moment. But if a person uses the product, so what is the halacha? How long does a person have to do this? I mean, a person gets home and then they check on the internet and say, oh my gosh, I was ripped off. Right? So how much time do they have in order to get it back? So the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch don't talk in terms of a... they don't speak in terms of checking something up on the internet. They speak about going to an appraiser. And right, you go to a third party and appraise, and the person looks up and says, I'm sorry, you were ripped off. So how soon does a person have in order to take care of this? So the halacha is, you don't have very long. You have as soon as you find out. So a person, as soon as they make a purchase, is supposed to bring it to an appraiser. And as soon as one gets it appraised for the wrong amount of money, a person has to immediately bring it to a din Torah, or at least approach the seller in order to make this deal. Right. What if a person, right, in order to rectify it. Now, this is within reason. It's not that a person has to, you know, without going to the bathroom first, run right to the appraiser, right? It means within reason, but it has to happen in a very quick amount of time. What if a person is told it's onah, but then they use the product? So what impact does that have?
He knew already it was onah,
but he ends up using the product. So it depends. If the overcharge was more than a six, so by using the product, you're using someone else's product, right? In a way, you're using another product, which means that you're demonstrating that you're being mochel, right? If you're forgiving, if you weren't forgiving, then what right do you have to use someone else's product? The fact that you're using it indicates that I'm not going to bring it to a din Torah. So if you use the product knowing that onah has been charged, one has the seller has the right to say, sorry, you used it. You know, there must be a term for it. Users, losers, I don't know. You use it, you own it. Something like that. He has the right to do it. However, if it's a six, as Shulchan Aruch points out, if it's exactly a six, so then you keep the product, right? You're going to end up keeping the product. It's just the profit that's going to be given back. So if a person uses the product, they're using their own product. So they are not thereby indicating that I'm going to want to get the product back. Right? You hear that distinction? Okay.
Yeah.
What if it's less than a sixth? So if it's less than a sixth, so there's no way to bring it to a din Torah. There's no way to bring it, right? There's no way to settle this in court or anything like that.
There's no overcharge if it's less than a sixth.
Why not? You overcharge by less than a sixth.
Hold on a second.
No, so again, it's not an issue of profit, it's an issue of above market value, right? So if it's less than a sixth above market value, so what is that? What is that?
Like it's a tenth.
Right. He overcharges by a tenth. That the whole strip of stores is charging a dollar for a bottle of water, and you're charging a dollar or five for a bottle of water. So Sam is saying, there ain't nothing wrong with that. It's within the limits. So says the Rush, no, there could be something wrong with that, right? It just might not be enforceable, right? It might be a prohibition, but it might not be enforceable. Again, it's not profit. He's still making a profit. He only bought the bottles of soda for 40 cents plus the surcharge of the soda tax that he had to give to the, right? It's okay, I take care of that. But actually, if it's water, then it's a non-sugarized drink, so you don't have to worry about that. Right.
Hey,
so,
where did that come from? Is that Kabbalistic or something? What is 1/6?
No, the Kabbalistic. I don't know if it's more than just halacha moshe misina. I think it might. I'm not sure. I think it might be halacha moshe misina. That's just the rule.
But the 1/6 is the definition of overcharging.
No. That's the point. Overcharging is overcharging.
More than sixth.
Right? No.
It's still overcharged.
Less than a sixth. A sixth.
It's still overcharged.
So Sam's issue. Sam's saying, wait a second. You're allowed to overcharge within a sixth. So that is a machlokas. That's unclear. That's a rush.
The real question to a large extent is how do we define what the price is? That's like the most important.
Well, that's a separate issue.
Right. So
I said
in the beginning of this year that we weren't going to get into that.
No. I realized. Yeah.
No, you missed it.
I would understand.
Okay. So what is the rush
discussion to get people some awareness? What we consider legitimate.
Right. So
Jewish.
Okay, so this is known. So these two tzadim, even though there are other rishonim that take both sides of that issue, but it's most clearly brought in the rush. I didn't bring the rush. The rush itself is in the Sechas Bel Metzia, but the rush is quoted by the Tur. The Tur, of course, is the precursor of the Shulchan Aruch. Right, the Beis Yosef wrote on the Tur,
and the Tur is the son from the Rush.
Right, but the Tur is the Rush's son. Very good. Tur is the Rush's son, so he obviously quotes his father with much reverence. So the Rush, this Rush is quoted entirely in the Tur, and the Tur says, "V'yirid afilu pachus mishtus aser lo lahanus." That if it's less than a sixth, it's still prohibited to do. If it's more than a shavapruta, if it's more than a few pennies. Kivin sheyudeya she'ein mekhel shava kolkach. Because he knows that it's not an equal thing. The Rachmana Amar al tonu, because the Torah says, don't overcharge, right? B'chol davar at all. Sheishbu shivu mamon hazihira Torah shelo yonas chavera. That the Torah warned us that you're not allowed to overcharge your friend. El shechachamim amru achtus havi mechila. But the Rabbanon defined it as what is overcharging that we're going that so overcharging at all is a violation of the Torah. But the Rabbanan said that if it's just less than a sixth, the person has by definition been mochel. He waives his right to claim onah. He's not going to be able to deal with it. So therefore, that's it. We're not going to deal with it in a court of law. But yet it's still prohibited. That's what the Rush is saying. That's his first possibility. Right? But then he turns around and says, Oshema, and then he continues on, but it says, Oshema, or perhaps, he says, no, there's a presumed amount that of price fluctuation that goes on. Right? You could drive down and see that there's five gas stations in a row, and all are charging within 5 cents of each other, but there still is going to be a price fluctuation. Yeah, it's assumed. There's a little bit of a price fluctuation. That's assumed, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the machluk, that's the question that the Rush has. He raises this suffix, right? Is it a violation of less than a sixth? Or is it, no, that's considered within the regular realm of business. How do we paskin? So because this is a question of an isur d'oraisa, right? This might be a violation of the biblical verse. So Shulchan Aruch paskins l'chumra. Shulchan Aruch paskins. It says that one's not allowed to overcharge at all, even within a sixth. So Rambam points to a very interesting ha'ara that is stated in the Chafetz Chaim in Hilchos Bechilas. So that's one of the classes here to learn Chafetz Chaim, right? You've learned through Sefer Chafetz Chaim? No. Mishra, it's written by the same person. I thought you guys covered the Chafetz Chaim. Okay, so the Chafetz Chaim is written. The Chafetz Chaim, where he actually gets his name, right, is the halachos of Lashon Hara. So and he codified the laws of Lashon Hara. So one of the most famously learned sections in the Chafetz Chaim is his Hilchos Rechilas Klal Tes Yud Beis, because that's where he spells out the seven rules that one has to acknowledge before before one actually says Lashon Hara. He only lists it off as five here. But okay, the things that a person has to consider before he says Lashon Hara about another person. I mean, what we call litoeles, right? So a person calls you up and says, my daughter wants to go out with this guy. What do you know about this guy? The guy's an ex-murderer, right? So you have to be able to tell her. But there's rules about how to be able to tell her, right? So right before that, you get to that section about what those restrictions are. He mentions this halacha. What about if a person is about to go into a store, right? And you know that store, the owner of that store often takes advantage of people that come in and charges them more money.
So you would be responsible to tell them. You'd be responsible to get to tell them before they go into that store. Right? Says the Chafetz Chaim, however, what about if he only charges less than a sixth? He has a one-tenth overcharge that he does. So are you allowed to tell the person not to go in?
Well, you tell them what they charge.
Well, are you allowed to tell the person? Is that considered Lashon Hara?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So he says, on one hand, if you consider it, this is the same machlokas, but in reverse. If you assume that it really is a violation, it's just not enforceable and based in, so then you have the right to tell him. That person violates Onah. I know it's less than a six, but it's still a violation of Onah. Don't go in there, because he's going to overcharge you. But if it's really permitted to charge less than a six, says the Chafetz Chaim, so then you have no right. He's not doing anything wrong. So you have no right to tell the person, don't go into that store because he overcharges. You're interfering with his business. What? He says a suffix.
Where in the
Del
Raisa?
What?
He said it's a
Del Raisa. Not in our parsha. It's in Vayikra, Perek. It doesn't say anything about a six. It just says don't overcharge.
How about?
You can look up Vayikra Perek 25, verse 16. I'm not sure it's there, but I have a feeling it might be there.
We have a new phenomenon of like Amazon putting customer reviews, right? So normally, you change the dynamic a lot of things. 16%. Normally,
right. So reviewing a product is not necessarily an issue. This is especially if you're not reviewing a person, you're reviewing a product. The case that the Chafetz Chaim is talking about is don't go into that store because he's an overcharger. Right? Yeah, you're saying Lashon Hara about the owner of the store. Or possibly Rechilas. Or possibly Rechilas. It might not even be true.
You rate the seller, not the product.
You also are rating the Well, you do both. You can do both, right? You rate the seller. So
that's what you do. Yeah. That's why Amazon is a great company.
Yeah, that's a good question. And a couple of years ago, I was involved in a committee that never actually published, but an internet ethics committee.
Right.
And we had some ideas, and then it didn't, for whatever reasons, it didn't come to fruition. Maybe you could reignite it, but that was one of the issues that I brought up. I think the intention was to talk about filters and Facebook and things like that.
Here.
I want to talk about Lashon Hara on the internet because there's a lot of stuff that goes on there. Yeah.
Which is the real subtle, you know. I mean, if it's obvious, obviously it's horrible stuff, you get rid of that.
You still have
the subtlety
issue.
Is what you need.
You still have the issue of how do you establish fair market value? I mean, is it.
No, that's a big discussion.
We're not going to talk about that.
No, but that's an interesting subject.
The range of fair market value is probably more than
I just think we are like, at the time when Moses was running, people were involved in commerce with the standard. Jews were involved in commerce, that's what they did. So stuff makes sense. Now we're not involved in commerce. You get a job, you get paid. And that was one, and now that isn't changed, where to buy it.
Okay.
The whole dynamic has
changed. It could be. Okay, so I wanted to just a brief thought about the El Al pricing glitch that took place a couple of years ago. So what is, so is there an issue? So truth is, purchasing it knowing that there is a glitch seems like it would be problematic.
Yeah, I think so.
That does sound like it would be an issue. However, there's a further question of would El Al be able to back out, or would a person be required to give it back? So the so if one thinks about what exactly is El Al selling, right? El Al is not really selling a product. El Al is really selling a
service.
Right, the service meaning that they are therefore not really a poal, they are really a kablan. We discussed a kablan is a hired worker. Hired worker is not allowed to back out in the middle of a deal. So that's one distinction. The Gemara talks about making a kinyan with the barber before you start the haircut, because you don't want to back out in the middle of the deal. So therefore, making your kablan, you're not going to back out. So, what about, does Onah apply to a contractor? I mean, there is an issue, does Onah apply to land? Onah might not apply to land. Does Onah apply to a contractor where he's charging a price for a service? So, truth is, we pass and it does. The Rambam says it does, although, again, it makes a disclaimer that it would be very hard to prove that you're actually doing it. But it does apply, we do pass and it does apply to a Kaplan, and therefore Ona would probably apply to this circumstance. So what about the idea that El Al was Mochel? El Al announced that we're going to honor the tickets. So El Al, it was pointed out, El Al had to. Meaning, if, whatever El Al said, the government was going to make him do it. So that still then is a mechila. When a person is forced to make it, is that really a mechila? So perhaps not. El Al being a Jewish company, maybe there would even be an obligation on the behalf of the individual to give the money back and not to accept the ticket. However, and this maybe even settles the entire machlokas, is that if the government is telling them to do it, there is a concept called dina de malchusa dina. There is a, which is the law of the land is the law. And part of the reason we recognize dina de malchusa dina specifically in the area of monetary situations is because, you know, it's important that commercial commercial business be continued and be enacted. So under those circumstances, perhaps it then becomes permitted once again. Not really sure what the psak would be. Not really sure what I would do in that situation. But that is some of the issues how would then apply to that real life situation a few years ago. All right, let's stop here. By the way, just one more disclaimer. I saw no indication that Yosef was accused of Ona. I think I made this point in the beginning. Right? It's unclear. Yosef was just charging the price, and he was just collecting all the money for it. But at least that concept made me think of the concept of Ona. And we'll continue with something else tomorrow.
Why are you doing a violation of Ona?
He's charging the fair market value.
Fair market value. He's taking everything.
For 7 years worth of food for an entire population. Charging the fair market value?